Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Want to play a clip via Fox Sports of something Reggie Jackson said after the Pistons beat the Cavs? You can check out yesterday's podcast. Got posted a little late for technical issues, but it is up now. You can check that out for a little more discussion on that game and how overall the Pistons played well and brought the energy and focus they needed. There was, however, a brief little stretch where they didn't, and that was to start the second half. Detroit came out sloppy and flat, wasn't defending, was turning the ball over. And so Stan Van Gundy called timeout. Everything got righted. That's okay. That type of stuff happens during the course of a game. It's not going to be perfect for 48 minutes, usually, very rarely. So, yes, there was one little blip, but the Pistons got it straightened out in no time. But Reggie Jackson talking about that timeout, talking about that huddle, and really what it's like to play for Stan Van Gundy.
He's just honest, as usual. I don't know, a lot of yelling, so we wanted to write the ship and find a way to get stops. We knew it was about. So, like I said, it was a lot of yelling. Sometimes you find a way to tune little words out, but you know the gist of the message is just get back on track and find a way to get stops. That's really what he's going to preach all game. Mostly just get defensive stops and then try to find a good shot.
Is the yelling much different than normal, or does it increase a little bit with the streak and or the skid that you guys are on?
I don't know. It's almost like when your parents whoop you growing up, you just kind of build up tolerance for it. So
hypothetically, parents whooping you.
Yeah, hypothetically. I mean, I guess new age, right? So now you just build tolerance to it. I mean, you know it's coming, so you kind of know what the message is going to be for the most part, and you find a way to deal with it. You find a way to fire yourself up, fire the guys up, and then just go out there and do what's need to be done. So that. Coach hopefully doesn't have a heart attack on the sideline.
Van Gundy has developed a reputation for being very competitive, very tedious, very detail-oriented, a little grating. Maybe it's fair. I tend to think it is. I also think Van Gundy has mellowed over the years since he coached the Magic, but I think that there is still an element of this where he clearly knows basketball and clearly wants to get everything right, and those are great traits. They can also be a little grating if you work with him every day, especially during a 5-game losing streak. This is sort of one of the concerns with having Van Gundy running the Pistons, is that the way he coaches, it can wear on players. You know, Reggie Jackson's talking about how you have to find times to tune him out and just get the overall message and maybe not hear every word. It's a different mindset than is ideal, what you'd want from your players, but it's also the one that might be necessary. Clearly still a little bit of this with Van Gundy, but like I said, I do think he's mellowed. I don't think he's as intense as he was with the Magic. I think he has realized that, yes, if you want to win, you have to take the longer-term view sometimes, and that's been a pleasant surprise with how he's run the front office. The team hasn't made ridiculous trades and signings all the time, just in an effort to win as much as possible now. There has been a solid, I think, long-term focus. Sometimes they're a little bit too present-oriented, but I wouldn't say much more so than some front offices run by career people on the general manager track, not coaches. So there's something to this, but I do think Van Gundy has come a long way. Maybe Reggie Jackson would have had a different reaction if it were Orlando Stan Van Gundy calling that timeout and talking to him every day about this. One of the ways lately Van Gundy has tried to appease his players and make them feel good even through all this losing, is he mentioned that he views the team as having three starting forwards: Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, and John Luehr. Obviously, all three are not starting. They can play Luehr some at center to open up some minutes and have finally just started to do that. That's something we'll keep an eye on, maybe talk more about in a future episode. Not sure we've seen quite enough of that yet to have big impressions, but just a way to open up minutes because Van Gundy is getting so high on all three of these forwards. Tobias Harris has gone to the bench for the last couple of games and played very well. And Van Gundy acknowledged, I don't know if Tobias Harris has said this, but Van Gundy has acknowledged that Tobias Harris doesn't like coming off the bench, which I think is fine because he's doing it. He's doing it well. He's not complaining publicly. His attitude seems to be good. I wouldn't want him to like coming off the bench. He's competitive. There's status in starting. I'm sure he views himself as a starting caliber player in the NBA. This can be a little bit of a shock to his system, but he's doing the right things. I care far more about what people do than what they say and how they feel about it. If they go about it the right way, even if they're not happy on the inside, that's okay. And I think that's Van Gundy's approach too, that he's not dwelling on the fact that Tobias Harris doesn't like this. He's celebrating the fact that Tobias Harris is doing this well. He's coming off the bench. He's playing some of his best games. His minutes are still up, so there's no problem there. And that I think gives credence to Van Gundy saying the team has three starting forwards. Really, still, even though Luehr is starting, and maybe this will change, just in perception, because this is just a discussion of perception. The team obviously has only two starting forwards in reality. We might not know exactly who those are, and they could shift back and forth, but it still feels like John Luehr is not the starter, not a starting forward, that he's there just because of lineup fit. In the same way, you know, if you look back at the 04 Pistons, when Michael Curry started, but Corliss Williamson played more, had a bigger role, and even in the couple years before that. And that's what it feels like with Luehr. Maybe not that he's quite a symbolic starter like Curry, but he fits better with the starting lineup because of the defense and size he provides. And that Harris is really the starter. He's the starting caliber player, playing the big minutes, getting the big scoring role. And it just happens to be he's not on the court to start games. That might change as Luehr starts more, as we get used to seeing him. And Luehr's getting plenty of minutes, too. So we'll see if that changes. But even if it's going back and forth, and Van Gundy mentioned that the lineup could be fluid, where he's going back and forth between Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris in the starting lineup. So he really is treating this like there are three starting forwards. A lot of times that's a lip service thing. But this one does feel a little real. He is backing it up. And that's a way to keep those three players happy, to keep them involved, to keep them feeling like they're integral to the team and that they're valued. So I do think this is something in the evolution of Van Gundy where he realizes some of these little things you need to do if you're going to get on a guy for every single mistake every single day and just wear him down that way. You got to boost him up on the other side. Not that he didn't know that before, but it does seem like maybe there's a little bit more of a concerted effort to take those steps to balance it out. Pistons have the Bucks tonight. I think it's an interesting matchup, not just for this game, but for the long term, for the season, and for the future, for years to come. The Bucks were pretty lousy last year after making their big splash of signing Greg Monroe. Pistons had a breakout year, make the playoffs for the first time in several years, and seemed to be on the right track. Well, I gotta say, I think the Bucks have passed the Pistons. I'd rather be where the Bucks are right now. Not that the Pistons won't have more success, not that it's unfathomable, but if I'm picking between the two, I'd rather be where the Bucks are right now. Let's start with the present. The Bucks are 14-15. The Pistons are 15-18. Not a huge difference in records. The Bucks are a little better, but the Pistons are just coming off a losing stretch. I think the Pistons are due for some regression upward toward the mean, but the Bucks might be even more impressive. So history looking at this has shown that point difference is a better indicator of future success than record. The Pistons have been outscored by 0.2 points per 100 possessions, slightly below average. The Bucks have outscored teams by 2.5 points per 100 possessions. That ranks eighth in the league. I think the Bucks are just sort of sleeping right now, figuring some things out. But I think this is a team that could be really due for a breakout for the rest of the season, really get that record up there. And then long term, Giannis Antetokounmpo is my most improved player. He's been awesome, handling the ball like a point guard, running that offense a lot of times, and then just finding ways to get inside still and dunk and be a big player and take advantage of his size. It's a really special, very distinctive skill set that has been awesome. And it's gotten to the point where, look, would you rather have Giannis Antetokounmpo or Andre Drummond? I think Antetokounmpo is now better. I didn't think that was the case last year. This year it is. And Antetokounmpo is younger. It's very rare that I'm not going to take the better, younger player. What's working in Drummond's favor? Drummond's great. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I think very highly of him and what he brings to the team. But Antetokounmpo has become a very special player very quickly, and the sky's the limit for him. And he's just on that great track. And then you add to it, Chris Middleton, he's been hurt, he's been injured. He could come back late for the Bucks this year, make them more dangerous in the playoffs. But Middleton is also a good long-term piece, one the Pistons drafted and had and gave away in the Brandon Knight trade. I definitely did not realize what Middleton was going to become when the Pistons drafted him. And even when he was in Detroit for that brief time, did not have a clue on that. I sort of wish they had a better clue on it. Maybe they should have been able to see, because it wasn't like Middleton was playing much. We didn't have many opportunities to evaluate him on the court. But maybe the Pistons could have done a better job of evaluating him in private, in practices, to see what he could bring. Because the Bucks wanted him, and they got him. He's a nice second piece, an underrated player, a two-way player, a 3-and-D wing defender who just makes it so easy to play with him. I don't think the Pistons have somebody of his caliber. KCP is of the same mold. I'd rather have Chris Middleton. And then there's Jabari Parker, who's really making some nice strides coming along as a player. I'd probably rather have him than, you know, if we're going down the pecking order, than Reggie Jackson. So the Bucks have a lot of nice pieces. Jason Kidd does this on-again, off-again, good coach, bad coach thing. Right now he's looking like a good coach, but he's sort of in between periods. If he ever gets that straightened out, that could definitely help Milwaukee. But this is the Bucks, I think, are a very intriguing team, and one the Pistons need to be wary of, need to have an eye on. Just in terms of a team you're competing with, as you're trying to compete for a playoff spot this year, as you're trying to rise in the Eastern Conference in coming years, the Bucks, I think, are going to be a pretty big competitor, a big thorn in the Pistons' side, and a team to reckon with. So we'll get a little sense of where the teams stack up tonight. The Pistons play the Bucks. As I mentioned the other day, I'm going to be traveling for the next week, so shows might be a little interrupted. We might have a couple shows that are not really about what's going on at this very moment in the Pistons season, a little bit of a bigger picture look at an issue or two here or there. Might be a day or two without a show over the next week, but we'll still be around, still keep an eye on what the team's doing. If anything major happens, we'll definitely have a show that day. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.